Well, how many's glad to be in the house of God? Amen? All right. I want to thank Pastor Dameron again. I know I give thanks a lot, but that's what we're supposed to do. And I do it with freedom. I want to thank Pastor Dameron for inviting me to preach in his pulpit. It's always an honor and a privilege. Fairhaven has such a rich legacy, and I appreciate it. I've always been blessed when I've been here, whether I've been preaching or I've been at preaching conference, and it's always a joy to be here. I want to thank Brother Jeff Voglin and Brother and Mrs. Dave Olson for providing some meals, the Prophet's Chamber over at the men's dorm, and all the kindnesses that you give to us while we're here. We're not here for that, but you're a kind, giving church, and we like to show our appreciation and take nothing for granted when we get an opportunity to preach in another man's pulpit. I want to thank you so much for your kind comments and response during the morning message, and I'm just grateful that God hears and answers prayer. Amen? Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter number 23, the book of Numbers chapter number 23. And if you would, as you're getting there, look for verse 1. And I will, more than likely, I leave myself some leeway there just because of the Holy Spirit's leadership, I suppose, to go to verse 24, but I may cut it a little bit shorter than that. Numbers chapter 23, verses 1 through 24. And I think this message tonight, if I might say this in preface, is, well, every message is relevant because it's from the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? It's relevant. But I think it's appropriate today with what we're facing in America, what we're facing from governmental authorities. And I think it's appropriate that we might need to examine ourselves in light of all of that and get back to what God has given us as part of His heritage for us going forward. So that's where I'm going to be tonight. I hope that it will be cohesive and edifying and challenging, most of all, to all of us here present tonight. Numbers chapter 23, and if you could and you would, please, would you stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word? Beginning in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 23, the Bible says, "And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars. I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. I want to pause there for effect. Curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Then verse 8, How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Talking about Jacob, talking about Israel. And then verse 10, Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the uttermost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, the son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. If I may draw your attention back to verse number 21. The Bible says in this biblical account of Balaam and Balak and Jacob, Israel, says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. The title of my message is, The Shout of a King in the Camp. And I want you to focus on that as I lead us in prayer. Father, we ask you so much that you would continue to bless this dear church, the pastor and his family, the staff, the school, the college, all the various ministries. God, pour out your blessing, your power upon this ministry and continue to use it as a lighthouse in this area. And Father, I would pray tonight that as we assemble together to hear preaching, that you would give me preaching grace and power from on high, that there would be Holy Spirit preeminence in the pulpit and in the pew with the preacher and with the people, dear God. That's what we need. We can't hear from man. We got to hear from you. And God, we want you to do something that only you can do in our hearts and our lives and compel us and even propel us to do more for you in the days ahead. We thank you, Father, for the young people today or those that came forward to trust Christ as our Savior. We pray that they might go on and be the disciple you would have them to be. Now work in our hearts as only you can, and I'll be sure to give you the praise, for thou alone art worthy. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The shout of a king in the camp. Balaam told Balak, listen, I cannot curse Israel. I cannot curse Jacob. God won't let me do that. In fact, the Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. You know, Balak was the king of the Moabites. Balaam was a prophet from Pethor. He was bribed and hired by Balak to curse the Israelites with the wages of unrighteousness. Balak had seen all that Israel had done to the Amorites as they were marching towards the promised land. And he and his people, Numbers 22 in verses 3 and 4 say, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So, he hired Balaam, and Balaam made some tragic mistakes here. But yet God spoke through Balaam and refused to allow Balak to have his way in trying to keep the Israelites from marching through his land to the promised land. And Balaam only took the word from the Lord that he was given, and he said, I cannot speak but what the Lord has given me. And besides that, as I get to the title of my message again, there's the shout of a king in the camp. Now, I think we can draw some parallels here. I know the church is not spiritual Israel. Amen? God has not departed from Israel, but the saved that make up the church are the redeemed people of God, chosen in Christ Jesus out of the world. And I think we can draw some parallels here. And I think it's appropriate and I think it's fit not to stretch scripture, not to get extra biblical, not to get out of context. But I do think as I read and study the Old Testament and get into the New Testament and make some parallels between Israel and God's chosen people and the church, the remnant of believers in the world today, God's redeemed people, we can make some parallels. Amen? Do you believe that? I think we can. And I just want to do that today. And I want you to dwell with me again. I'm excited about the title of the message. Balaam said to Balak, and besides, there's the shout of a king among them. Now look, we've got people that are opposing the church of the living God. Can you say amen to that? We've got government authorities and we've got heathen nations that if they can and if they would get the opportunity would do everything to stamp out the people of God and the church of God. And don't think that that's not on Satan's agenda. It has been and it always will be until the end of the age. But I want to say to you and I want to say to myself and I want to say to the churches that truly are living for God and putting Jesus Christ first, that there ought to be in our midst, in the midst of what we're facing, the shout of a king in the camp. I just love this story. You might not know what I'm going to say, it gives me some glory bumps when I read this. And there's the shout of a king in the camp. Now, was there an actual king in the camp? We could say Jesus Christ was there. They were the chosen people of God. But it was Moses and Aaron that were being used of God to deliver them and take them to the promised land. But Balaam said, I cannot curse Israel. I cannot defy Israel. God is in the midst of them. And there's the shout of a king in the camp. I think sometimes our churches today, under the heavy pressure that we're facing, but that shouldn't be unusual. If you and I are going to do anything for God in our church, Satan is going to fight us tooth and nail and resist us every step of the way. And by the way, it used to be that Satan was fighting churches. Now he's joining them. And there ought to be among God's people, and there really can be among God's people, evidence of the shout of a king in our camp. And what is that shout? Well, it's nothing more than the shout of victory. It's nothing more than the shout of triumph. It's nothing more than the shout of kingship. And the Bible says in Revelations 1:6 and 5:10 that God hath made us unto him kings and priests. Amen? There ought to be the shout of a king in the camp. And I'm not necessarily saying that there isn't here, but I will tell you, sometimes we get too settled in. Sometimes, without meaning to, we acquiesce to the conditions and the times around us, and when government authorities and Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the unseen enemy of God's people and the church of the living God, we acquiesce, we just roll with the tide, and we lose that shout that used to be in our camp. And I would love to see the return of the shout of a king in the camp. After all, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And listen, I'm distressed, but not too much. There's nothing that my Lord can't do and my Lord can't accomplish in my life and in your life and in the church of the living God. Amen. We can face all types of enemies. We can have false prophets, or we can have prophets who give in to the wages of unrighteousness and say, let's just settle in. Hey, let's not resist. Let's just take it as it comes. After all, we didn't cause it. We can't do anything about it. And we just kind of want to just settle in. But Balaam said to Balak, God is in the midst of them. And besides, there's the shout of a king in the camp. And then if you would notice in Numbers 23, And if you would notice in verse number 23, I like this. Surely, Balaam said to Balak, there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel. Notice what it says. What God hath wrought. I want to challenge us tonight to get back to the shout. Not an emotional, a religious ecstasy that defends our position. Anybody can do that. It's easy to sit back in the pew and have a shout that defends our position. But our only position is in the fact that we're in Christ Jesus, and He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we ought to be shouting about that more than anything else. Amen and amen. I want it to be said in my lifetime, and I don't know how many more years I have, but God does, that somehow I was able to see the shout of a king in the camp once again. That's why I'm always excited to preach at Fairhaven. I know how it got started. I've read the history. I know how it continues onward. I know even in the chains of leadership, the same legacy is being propagated. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I'm excited about that. But let's let it be known that when the enemies of God, when maybe the Black Lives Movement or the anarchists or the cancel culture people, or the buying media, or the scientists around the world do everything they can to try and shame and defy the God of the living church today, we need to make it known, and we need to let God say of us, there's the shout of a king in that camp. No matter how we want to disrupt them or defeat them, there's a shout of a king in that camp. And you say, can that unity ever be accomplished again in America? Well, it ought to be. Well, why question whether it can be? Why don't we just settle on the fact that it ought to be? I'm around a lot of preachers, and I respect preachers and all that, but I can just tell sometimes that some preachers have just lost the shout. I love it. And the shout of a king is among them. Oh, what God hath wrought. That's the shout of victory. The shout of triumph. The shout of kingship. After all, Romans 8:37 is still true. Amen. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. After all, Ephesians 3:20 and 21 is still true, isn't it? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I think that's kind of a crescendo, Brother Jim. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, world without end, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen? It's still there. I like 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You say, oh, those are old hat. We learned those a long time ago. You just seem to be excited. You're trying to motivate us. If I was trying to motivate you, I wouldn't be here. I'm really not into motivation. I'm into saying, the Bible says, when a prophet was hired to curse Jacob, to curse Israel, God's chosen people. And when we face similar circumstances today where when they're trying to oppress us and suppress us, it ought to be said, God's not going to let it take place, because in that camp, there's the shout of a king. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:57 talks about victory in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, who causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal nation, a holy priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Can you say amen to that verse? You say, you like to hear amen? If it's scripture and it's truth, why not? It's time to get back to the shout in our camp. And I'm kind of a dignified person. You say, oh, really? You seem to be kind of rough as a cob. You don't have much homiletics and all those other edicts, and I'm all for edicts, but I'm all for the Word of God. I think it's time to get back to the shout in our camp. The world, the unseen prince of the power of the air, the God of this age, little g, is trying to curse the genuine remnant of believers today. If we can acquiesce, we can ride it out, we can say everything seems to be going all right with us in our camp. We've got enough money, we got enough staff, we got enough people, we got enough property. We just got enough, and we'll just keep on going the way we have been going. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But I hope that we can once again have in our churches in America the shout of a king in our camp. That when all the opposing forces try and defeat us, they won't be able to. Because there's a shout of a king in the camp. I talk to preacher after preacher, and maybe you do too, and I don't run with a lot of preachers because I have a hard enough time walking with God. But there's a lot of oppression going on. And Balak was sore distressed. The Israelites and Jacob had defeated the Ammonites. They were coming into the land of Moab. And Balak said, I've got to do something, so I'll get Balaam, the prophet of God, to speak the words of God that curses Jacob, curses Israel. And it came back that I can't, because God is in the midst of them. The shout of a king is among them. I just have this naivety, always have. My wife will tell you that I'm very naive. If you take people at their word literally and that's naive, I guess it is nowadays. You've got to be careful. But I have this naivety that if it's in the Word of God and God demonstrates His power, that God can do it again. Can you say amen to that? After all, in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 35, let me read it to you. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, as they were moving towards the promised land, that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. Would we pray that prayer tonight? Could we join hands and join hearts in unison and say, rise up, Lord, or oh, rise up, Lord. Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. God can do it again. And God wants to do it again. I want to share with you ever so briefly that we ought to get back to the shout with expectation. There's times that we'll shout for truth, but it is lacking in expectation. Like some mystical shout for the truth will carry us forward when the enemy in the opposition tries to defeat us. No, if we're going to have the shout of a king in our camp, it's got to be a shout of expectation. It's not that we're hoping so or we're wanting so to see this to take place. It's that we believe that God can do it and we expect God to do it. Can you say amen to that? It ought to be a shout of expectation. Expectation. After all, Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. After all, Genesis 18:14, the angels told Abraham and Sarai, is anything too hard for the Lord? After all, Mary, when she was found to be with virgin, found to be with child of the Holy Ghost, says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." That breeds expectation, does it not? We ought to get back to the shout with expectation, my friend. We ought to get back to the shout with anticipation. Hey, if I expect something, stay with me here, I anticipate that it will happen. Over in Philippians chapter 3, if you'd turn there with me, please. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I see anticipation in Paul's testimony here. Over in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I see anticipation. You know, a lot of my messages that God gives me, I bake my own bread. God works it in me. And a lot of it has to come down to the fact God says he can and God says he will and God says he wants to in my life. And I say, well, bless God. If you can and you will and you want to in my life, well, I'm going to expect you to do it and I'm going to anticipate that it gets done. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says this. Paul's testimony here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That just overflows with his anticipation. Go over to Acts 20 and verse 24, if you would please. Acts 20 and verse 24, another verse that really is encouraging to me. Acts 20 and verse 24, notice what Paul says here in his testimony. He says this, but none of these things move me. He's talking about that wherever the Holy Ghost sends him and leads him, everywhere he goes, he says, this what is awaiting me, bonds and afflictions. That's what he's saying. It's going to be ahead. But he says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He anticipated that he'd finish his course with joy. We ought to get back to the shout with expectation, with anticipation, but I think this is the crux of the matter. I think I've alluded to it many times over already. Sorry for being so elusive in alluding things. But I think this is the crux of the matter. We may have expectation and we might want some anticipation, but we ought to get back to the shout with consecration. In consecration is more than just being set apart. Consecration is more than just in being set apart. We're pure and we're desiring to be holy. Duncan Campbell, when he was given an account of the Hebrides revival, said this. He says, there's a place beyond consecration. There's a place of implicit confidence in God. Beyond consecration. Sometimes we get people up to the point where I'll consecrate myself. I'll be all that God wants me to be. I'll work to be clean and holy and pure. But then they stop and we stop. And sometimes we just say that's where God wants us to be. But Duncan Campbell, when he was analyzing that revival that took place in the Hebrides, and there were ladies praying that God would show up and God would move. And listen, there'd be a genuine heaven-sent revival. Duncan Campbell said, there's a place beyond consecration. There's a place of implicit confidence in God. Balaam said, besides, God's not going to let me curse Jacob or Israel because God's in the midst of them and there's the shout of a king among them. I can give you example after example. Let's take a look, though, ever so briefly on consecration. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. I hope this isn't falling on deaf ears. I hope you think I'm not trying to be inspirational. The Bible's not an inspirational book. It's an instructional book. If you and I'll get the instruction we ought to get out of the Bible, it will bring inspiration. But instruction without inspiration does us no good. And inspiration without instruction does us no good. We've got to take the instruction and allow it to inspire us to believe in God and trust God and let God work through us. And we want it to be said there's the shout of a king in the camp. 2 Chronicles 16 in verse number 9. Notice, you know this verse. Notice what it says. For the eyes of the Lord. Do you get this? Hey, from China to the United States. From communist Soviet Union to the United States. And all the other places in between. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I heard the story of a preacher who got a freshman in Bible college. I won't mention his name, but I couldn't, but it's not bad. But I'll just use this as a story. He was a freshman in Bible college, an independent Baptist Bible college years ago, I think in the late 70s. And God moved down on his heart and said, look, young man, I want you to go to the Washington, D.C. area. He's a freshman. Right now, I want you to stop your studies and your education, and I want you to go to the Washington, D.C. area and plant a church. He theorized on that and said, well, I'm wet behind the ears. I'm a freshman. Yeah, I want to do something for you, God, but what do I know? You want me to stop what I'm doing right now, just being a freshman and go plant a church in the Washington, D.C. area, the Virginia area? You want me to do that? Yeah, I told you to do that. I'll do it through you. He was reading his Bible one day and he came across 2 Chronicles 16:9, as he was struggling with that. And it said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He said, well, God, if your eyes run to and fro, and I'm willing to go and I'm surrendered to go, I'll go. God used that man. Freshman in Bible college, not drop out, just step aside and plant that church. And it's a lighthouse and has been for quite a while now. We need to get back to the shout with expectation. There's the shout of a king among them. We can dot our I's properly and cross our T's properly, and that's okay, and that's all right. But when the enemy of God and government authorities and all of these movements that are circulating want to hire people to shut us up, to keep us from advancing, and take an enemy territory that we should be taken back, let it be said of us. Can't do it. God's in the midst of them, and there's a shout of the king in a camp. The examples, how about Abraham and Chedorlaomer and the kings? Did Abraham not rescue Lot? How about Gideon, taking on the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east. Did that not work? How about Jephthah taking on the Ammonites? Did that not work? How about Samson and the Philistines? Did that not work? How about Jonathan and his armor bearer and the Philistines? Did that not work? How about Deborah and Barak when they went up against Sisera and the Canaanites? Did that not work? How about the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelations? What do they end with? And he that overcometh. How about Matthew 16:18? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that Jesus is building. I hope to see in my lifetime the shout of a king in our camp again. I do. Sometimes we can get drunk with success in the church. Sometimes we can get intoxicated with that we've, and I think sometimes we develop that air that God's with us, and he is, and God will be with us, and he wants to be. But more than anything else, we need to be desperate people. We need to lose our dignity at times and get desperate. And long to say about our camp, there's the shout of a king there. And to pray like Moses did as they were marching towards the promised land and would have to go through enemy territory. Rise up, O Lord, and scatter thine enemies. It was Theodore Roosevelt who's quoted as saying this, and you've probably heard it. Far better it is to dare mighty things to win, glorious triumphs, even though checkered with failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. I was reading this a couple weeks ago, and God stopped me. Hey, besides, Balaam told Balak, God's in the midst of them, and there's the shout of a king in the camp. And God said, no enchantment. I think government knows how to enchant people. No divination will stand against Jacob. God makes the promise to his people, the church of the living God, too. Let's take him up on all that he can do for us, and let's get back to the shout with expectation, with anticipation, but most of all, consecration. God cannot work through a half-hearted, lukewarm person or a church. He can give some mercy drops. Amen? But doesn't that song say, but it's for the showers of blessings we plead? I don't know where you're at, but I'm glad you listened tonight. And you young people, let the king have his way in your life. Let the king have his way in your life. You say, will it be worth it? Isn't it too far gone? It's a dim outlook. You let the king have his way in your life, and you bind together to walk with God. And it can be said, and it should be said, and let's pray that it will be said. There's a shout of a king in the camp that goes forward as the Lord is not yet here to take us home. What will you do tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I don't know, this shout of a king, it's the shout of victory, it's a shout of triumph, it's a shout of kingship. You can know the Lord tonight as your Savior, and he'll change your life. Amen? Don't you love that song? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Church, rally behind your pastor. Rally behind him. Rally behind him. If you have a pastor with a vision, it doesn't have to be great, but he still has vision. Rally behind him. And let's shout again that there's a king in our camp, and he will prevail.